This is Bajaj Allianz Life. Life Goal Talks.
Hello everyone and thanks again for joining us on Bajaj Allianz Life, Life Goal Talks. My name is Rakesh Sharma. Since the last time we met, we have encountered some extraordinary events in the world. Credit Suisse of Switzerland reported a material weakness relating to its financial reporting, which sparked jitters across global markets and sent shares plummeting as nervous investors rushed to limit their exposure. This crisis, of course, has happened just a week after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank in California. SVB was, of course, the 16th largest bank in the US and particularly well known for serving startups and venture-backed firms. So what exactly happened there? A quick primer. The bank saw massive growth between 2019 and 2022, which resulted in it having a significant amount of deposits and assets. While a small amount of those deposits were held in cash, most of the excess was used to buy treasury bonds and other long-term debts, which, as you know, are relatively low risk. But as we discussed on the previous episode, the world is facing unprecedented inflation. The Fed increased interest rates in response to this high inflation, and Silicon Valley Bank's bonds became riskier investments. Some of the bank's customers, many of whom are in the technology industry, hit financial troubles, and many began to withdraw funds from their accounts. To make room for these large withdrawals, the bank decided to sell some of its investments, and unfortunately, those sales came at a loss. The bank lost $1.8 billion, and that marked the beginning of the end for the bank. So what I'm trying to say is that these are uncertain times globally. But as we lay people don't really understand the contours of these times or these events, we turn to experts, which is precisely why we have expert opinion and guidance coming your way. And who better than Mr. Sampath Reddy, CIO at Bajaj Allianz Life and our economic weather forecaster. Hello again, Mr. Reddy, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Rakesh. Yeah, thank you.
Right. As I was saying in the introduction, the recent failure of some banks in the US and Europe has raised concerns of the possibility of a global financial crisis brewing up. We're all getting flashbacks of Lehman Brothers in 2008. What are your views on the same? And how does this particular crisis compare to the global financial crisis of 2008?
The recent episodes which we had seen, you know, some of the bank failures in the US and other parts of the world, are not really, you know, to do with the credit-related problems. And in fact, you know, these are more of a ALM-related mismatches, I would say. If you see the large number, you know, banks do have substantial amount of assets in their balance sheet in the form of bonds, which are basically the marketable securities. You know, it could be government bonds or it could be, you know, the mortgage securities, etc. And when the interest rates move up, you know, these bond prices actually go down. Banks or leverage institutions, you know, when the substantial portion of the, you know, the bonds go into the negative, it will have an impact on the net worth. You know, that's what is actually happening in some of the, you know, some of the banks in the US. It is certainly not a credit related problem. It is not that the banks are exposed to the, you know, weaker quality of credit, unlike that of 2008. It is a largely an interest rate risk, which, you know, some of the banks may not have managed well. So that's how I would see that. It is not a, 2008 kind of instance. If you see the, you know, interest rate movement in the US or even in some of the other markets, the global markets, interest rates were exceptionally low for a long period of time in the US. As the inflation started moving up, you know, Fed and other central banks started raising rates. In fact, U.S. Fed alone has raised the rates by almost about 500 basis points. You know, U.S. bond yields have all moved up substantially from their lows. Because of this, you know, wherever the banks which have got mismatch in their ALM, you know, their bond portfolios have taken a significant hit, which in turn had impacted their P&L and balance sheet. Now that is what is we are witnessing today. It is not really much of a credit-related problems. It is more of interest rate risks. I think it is limited to fewer banks where, you know, who are running these difference in the ALM.
Which brings me to my next question. Do you think that this banking crisis in the USA and Europe will lead to some adverse impact in India as well? Are Indian banks relatively better placed in terms of this crisis, Mr. Reddy?
I think Indian banks are, you know, in a far better situation than the, you know, some of these global banks, especially if you see Indian banks based on its own historical cycle. If you see We are one of this, you know, they are one of the best placed today. The capital adequacy ratios, if you see, almost around 14-15% across the banking industry, you know, versus, this is, I'm saying, the Tier 1 capital adequacy versus, you know, regulatory requirement of about 9.5%. Capital adequacy ratios are very, very strong and superior. And secondly, the asset quality of the banking sector is also, you know, one of its best in terms of historical standpoint. So in both these point of, you know, and both these accounts, if you see, Indian banks are in a very strong wicket at this juncture, and credit growth is also picking up in India. So, you know, fundamentally speaking, Indian banks are in a far better shape. Not only that, our regulatory regime is quite, I would say, stringent, where, you know, the banks are not permitted to take certain excessive risks, you know, that is also helping the Indian banks, you know, in this context. And if you see that, as I discussed in the problem of the some of the US banks which are failure or which are facing headwinds or, you know, which are facing difficulties, is largely a function of the interest rate mismatch because of the strong rise in the interest rates or, you know, or strong rise in the bond yields. But the same thing, if you see, India had seen only about 250 basis point increase in the interest rates by the RBI on the repo rate side. Whereas, you know, Fed funds have almost gone up by 500 basis points from the lows. So that's a difference in terms of, you know, the rate hikes are much smaller than that of in the US. And secondly, you know, our bond yields, you know, from the COVID lows, they're almost just up by about 150 basis points or so. So overall, if you see the mark-to-market impact on the bond portfolios in the Indian banks is relatively very, very small. So in that context, you know, the interest rate risk, which is there in the global banks, that is very, very small. The same on the Indian banks is relatively small. So in that backdrop also, Indian banks stand out, and I would not think that what we are facing globally is applicable to the Indian banks.
Speaking of the domestic economy, the World Bank has in fact said the Indian GDP will moderate at about 6.3% because of shrinkage in consumption and on the back of a slower income. It has lowered its forecast for India's economic growth in the current fiscal year from 6.6% to now 6.3%. So what's your view in the midst of all these economic changes in the world? What's your view on the prevailing macroeconomic conditions here in India, Mr. Reddy?
GDP growth for the FY23 is likely to be about 7%. We've already come to the end of the current financial year. And with the kind of economic activity that we are witnessing, I think 7% seems to be very much in the bag. For the FY24, the GDP growth expectation by the RBI is around 6.4%. But I think, you know, anything between 6 to 6.4% is what we think is realistic. In that backdrop, if you see the overall growth rates for the GDP in the last financial year and as well as for the next financial year, at this juncture, as we speak today in the current phase, you know, Q3 growth rate was just about 4.4%. And in the quarter four also, growth is likely to be relatively small. And in the Q1 also, the growth rates are likely to be somewhat weakish. But most of the growth is, you know, likely to come back by the end of the second half of the current financial year. So the growth for the FY24 seems to be slightly back-ended. Some of the interest rate hikes that we had witnessed in the recent past is actually having its impact on the demand. We believe that the rate hike cycle is pretty much behind. I think RBI will begin to reduce the rates, not just in India, but even globally also. The rates are likely to come down, you know, towards the second half of the current financial year. As the rates come down, we could see the pickup in the demand more so for the second half of the current financial year. But, you know, currently, based on the interest rate hikes that we've already seen, it is having some impact on the demand. But I think for this toward the second half of the, you know, financial year, we could see the pickup in the, you know, the demand. So that's how the recovery is, you know, for this financial year seems to be more like a back-ended. Even from the, you know, other macro point, especially from the Forex reserves was inched up to above $600 billion. And even the current account deficit, which was a bit of a concern till about, you know, a few months back, the crude softening, you know, has come back to comforting levels. Inflation, which was a worry for a large part of the FY23, is now, you know, appearing to be benign for the next financial year, certainly going to be below 6%, you know, more so closer to about 5%. I would think, you know, which is very well manageable. So overall, I think that the growth for the FY24 seems to be back-ended. Some of the interest rate hikes which have happened already in the last 1 year are having its impact on the demand currently. The demand is relatively weaker than the growth that we had seen in FY23, or even the one which we are likely to witness in FY24. So currently, we are actually at the low point of the growth, but the growth is likely to come back in the second half of the current financial year.
We are coming into Q4 earnings season. What are your expectations from this particular season? And as we step into the new financial year, what are your views on corporate earnings for FY24? Let's start with the quarter earnings season that's coming up first.
Quarter four numbers are not yet out, but for FY23, the overall earnings are expected to grow in the range of about 12 to 14%. A large part of the growth is already done. And even for the quarter four, also the growth rates are pretty much likely to be similar to about 10 to 12%. Overall, FY23, we had seen a very good earnings growth on the back of a very strong base of FY22. If you recall, FY22, the earnings growth was about 35 to 37%. On that strong earnings growth, FY23 also had a very good earnings growth of about 12 to 14%. For the coming financial year, we still think that earnings will grow in the range of about 12%, which is somewhat closer to its long-term mean, I would say. Growth rate in the FY24 is largely going to be driven by moderation in the commodity prices, which will in turn will show the result, positive results in the margin expansion. So the margin expansion would be the key driver of the earnings for FY24, not really much of the top-end growth. So that's how we see the earnings growth for FY24. And if you see the valuations as such, currently around 17,500 Nifty levels, 1 year forward, FY24 earnings, for the market or other Nifty 50 companies, it seems to be around 18 times. 18 times is not very cheap, but vis-a-vis its long-term average, more so with the recent long-term average, it is in line with the with last 5 to 6 years kind of an average PE multiple that India had witnessed. I would think that market has not given a good returns. Rather, market was pretty much flat for the last one and a half years. Earnings, during the same time, earnings have actually grown quite well. So because of which the valuations have actually corrected for the long-term investors, I think this is a good level to enter into the market.
In recent times, Indian market valuations have moderated quite a bit. So in the next few weeks or maybe the next month until the next time we meet you again, what would you say are the kind of sectors that people should be looking at? Is it still going to be banking and financial services and IT and automobiles, or do you have some other favorites?
As I was mentioning, currently, Nifty 50 companies in an aggregate are trading around 18 times PE multiple, which is, as compared to the multiple that we had seen about a year or two back, it is certainly moderated. As you see, the earnings have grown in the last 1.5 to 2 years, but, market was pretty much flat. That has led to some sort of a PE derating, which is what we are witnessing today. But if you see the earnings growth-wise, the key drivers of the earnings growth for FY24 seems to be, again, the banks. Financials, which account for almost, one-third of the earnings, even one-third of the overall market capitalization as well. So they're performing well. I think credit growth is quite strong at this juncture. They will be the key driver of the earnings growth. So most of the other sectors, if you see, I would think, at best, the market performers, especially the IT and pharma, which were, linked to the global growth and global demand. So they are likely to grow around in the range of 8 to 10% kind of a growth, which is slightly below the overall Nifty growth. And apart from the banks, maybe even automobile sector also likely to show a very good earnings growth, largely because of the base effect. And also, whole of last year and year before that, auto sector had faced some headwinds, both in the form of, higher commodity prices, which is like steel and aluminum, et cetera. And also they had faced some headwinds in the form of, the shortages on account of, the chips. All of that is pretty much behind. So auto sector is also likely to show a good growth in earnings in the next financial year, which is FY24. So these two sectors are going to be the market leaders in terms of earnings growth-wise. And even FMCG, which is likely to grow in just in the range of about around 10%, which is, I would say, closer to the mean of the Nifty 50 companies. And probably some of the sectors which are more linked to the commodity producers, as we feel that commodity inflation is going to be subdued in the current financial year. commodity prices are likely to be a little softer on account of even the global slowdown in terms of growth. The makers of aluminum, steel, etc. are going to have, again, subdued year in terms of growth-wise, in terms of earnings. Even some of these chemicals and other commodity producers also could see softness in terms of earnings growth in the current financial year. So overall, the growth in earnings this time, FY24, seems to be largely driven by the banking sector. And, most of the other sectors are, at best, growing just about 10 to 12%, or some of the sectors are actually would be a little bit of a drag on the overall the market earnings growth.
Great. So the overall financial outlook for FY24 seems quite positive, and India remains largely insulated from the crisis brewing in banks worldwide. And there are some sectors for people to choose from in terms of trading in the next few weeks or months. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rakesh.
The views expressed by the speaker in the podcast is not to be construed as investment advice, and listeners are suggested to seek independent financial advice before making any investment decisions. For more details on risk factors, terms and conditions, please read the sales brochure available on www.bajajalliance.com carefully before concluding a sale.